Hello, welcome to the Everything Etsy podcast, brought to you by Kim and Tim Layton from everythingetsy.com, where we talk about selling on Etsy, handmade, and creativity. This is episode one to accompany our post entitled Blogging Leads to Online Greatness. Thanks for joining us. Hi, I'm Tim from everythingetsy.com, and Kim and I work together on the site, and I do the technical things while she does the creative things and beautiful things and social things. And we've got a blog post series coming up, a series of 10 posts about blogging for Etsy sales, and we're calling it Blogging Leads to Online Greatness. And it's no coincidence that that spells blog, B-L-O-G. And you know, kind of to kick the series off, we're doing a podcast. It's the first one of these we've done. And I'm going to interview Kim. That's why I'm kind of doing the intro on this, because I'm your host for today's show, and I'm going to interview Kim, and we're going to talk about blogging and a little bit about her background and our background on Etsy. So, hi Kim.
Hi Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for the coffee. The coffee's good.
Yeah, we're sitting here over a cup of coffee, which is nice. Kim, you know, a lot of people that read the blog know who you are and you know that you talk all about Etsy and that you sell on Etsy. And I just wondered, maybe some people would like to know a little bit about your background, how you got involved with Etsy, and what first brought you to the Etsy lifestyle and website and selling online.
I really didn't think it out. I pretty much just started with making something, which is something I've always liked to do. I've always enjoyed making a little of this, a little of that. And I started by making a felt cupcake, like a felt cupcake brooch. And I loved it. I thought it was so cute. And I thought, well, maybe somebody else might want one of these too.
Of course.
And I enjoy making them, so I'm going to make, you know, more than one. So I went ahead. Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm just smiling at you.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's so,
okay.
This is fun.
I went ahead and I listed it on eBay. And somebody bought it, I think, for 99 cents, as amazing as that is. I can't believe I even did it for 99 cents, but it was still pretty cool to think, oh my gosh, somebody wants something that I made, and they bought it, and I'm just going to stick it in the mail to them, and they paid me through PayPal, which I love PayPal now. And
me too. So,
PayPal's good. And so that's how it pretty much started. I sold two or three on eBay and raised my price each time, and they still kept selling. And somehow I stumbled across Etsy.com, which that was a good thing, because it turned out that was perfect for me. I love handmade stuff. I actually have a hard time controlling myself and just kind of focusing on a few things, because I'm kind of all over the board when it comes to making stuff.
Yeah, I remember one of the early challenges you had with Etsy was that at first, you know, it's not that way anymore, but there was a rule that you could only have one shop.
I know.
And you didn't like that.
No, I did not like that. And so as time went on, I had a cupcake. I put it in the shop. Somebody bought it. I made strawberries. I made, you know, other cupcakes. I just kind of kept expanding.
And these were all felt.
All object. Felt. Everything was felt. Felt brooches, pins, and hair clips, ponytail holders, little accessories like that. And actually, we don't even have girls. So, you know, anyway, I can make cute little hair clips for little girls.
Yeah.
So,
you never know.
So I really enjoyed it. And that's kind of how it all started.
Kind of as an aside, Kim has taken that love of felt pretty far. She's actually got a book out now in stores that we'll be talking about on the website at some point. And gosh, I've forgotten the title.
From Felt to Fabulous.
From Felt to Fabulous by Kim Layton.
I know, that's pretty exciting.
It's a really cool book with a bunch of patterns in it. It's beautiful, done by Leisure Arts, and we'll be writing another post about that. So you can always search on the blog for From Felt to Fabulous.
I'm kind of waiting till I know it's in the stores.
It's in the stores.
Okay.
We got to go see. Kim, you know, that's how you got into selling on Etsy, but how did you get into blogging? I mean, what started you with the whole blogging thing? Because obviously that's a big part of what you do now.
Right, and I never was, you know, Miss Computer. I'm really not that good with all the techie side, as
hey,
you
don't
know.
Don't sell yourself short.
No, I've learned a lot. But at first, really, I started with a blogger. No, I didn't, did I? I set those up for the kids. I even started the kids because they're homeschooled with blogs. And Tim set me up a WordPress site for foreverwherever.com, which is kind of like our family site. But I...
Do you remember, I'm just before that though, do you remember why you decided, I mean, what? How'd you get around to saying, let's do a blog? Oh, we're going to, okay, it's coming.
It just takes me a moment.
Yeah, no, take your time.
What I noticed was that a lot of the really big Etsy sellers all seem to have blogs. And I'm like, well, there must be a reason behind that. And they do seem to kind of get a lot of response showing what type of jewelry they're making, how they make it. They would give it away on their blog. It seemed like it brought more people to them, more people to their shop, and it just seemed like a really smart thing to do. So that's kind of why we started it as like a family blog with, you know,
with like your Etsy mini right
on there, and really it just kind of evolved from there, but it was definitely started as a way to promote the Etsy shop.
Yeah. I still remember, you know, from my perspective, I remember it from a technical perspective because Kim came to me one day and said, you know, I think we should start a blog. You know, I'm doing the selling on Etsy, and I had only been kind of, you know, involved a little bit at that point, just basically giving her a high five whenever she came and said, you know,
I made $2.
Yeah, I sold something else. I was like, all right, you know, way to go. And the but other than that, I might have looked at the site once when she said, look at it, but I really wasn't that involved in the internet at all. I just used email in my work, and that was about it. And so I really knew nothing about the web. And Kim said, I think we should start a blog. And so what happened at that point is, my first response was, well, what's a blog? And then I figured out what that was and just started doing some research, just some Google research. And the thing that I was concerned about, the business side of me came out not wanting that .blogspot.com on top of the address. You know, I didn't want to have it be, you know, whatever address.blogspot.com, just because I wanted to own it, and, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't feel connected to that right away. And so I started researching how you can put a blog on your own domain. And that's how I found WordPress. And then I just was looking at the WordPress website, and they suggested Bluehost as one of the hosts. And so we set up a Bluehost account and searched for...
That's worked out great for us.
Bluehost has been awesome. It's just been easy, and we've had, you know, been able to put a number of domains on one account, and it's just really been very good for a long period of time.
Well, and I can tell you just from my experience in talking with other Etsy sellers that I am very happy that we started off that way instead of on
You blog. Mean with a WordPress blog?
Yes, I am, because a lot of people then try to move their stuff over later on,
yeah.
And that just seems unnecessary if you can just kind of start it right and move on.
And as we go through the series on blogging, we'll get into some of the reasons why people do that. You know, there's things such as plugins, which are available to WordPress users, and the ownership of your content and having it all on your own server. There's a lot of reasons that, from a business perspective, long term, it's a good idea to have your own domain. It's not to say that all the other things we talk about when we talk about blogging don't also apply if you have a Blogspot blog or Blogger blog or Typepad or any of the other blogging platforms, WordPress.com. So all of the same things apply. But for us, and we think probably the best move for most businesses that are planning for long term focus, is to have your own domain, and which is one of our posts. Our next post will be about setting that up. But anyway, so that's how you got into blogging. And I remember the first blog was foreverwherever.com. Is that right?
Yes. And it had recipes and travel and all that, but it also had a lot of my felt and you know, just
yeah,
look
it
at this.
Yeah, kind of a fun blog.
Yes, it's fun.
We still want to do it one of these days.
We do, but then we kind of evolved into where we are today, and it really does take up a good bit of our time.
It's a lot of work, yeah. Interestingly, within just a few days of setting up that first Bluehost account, we bought everythingetsy.com and remodelingguy.net, which those of you who might know me as Remodeling Guy, that's been another one of our big undertakings online, and we started all those websites within just a few days. We didn't actually get them rolling right away, but we bought those domains immediately. And they've been a big part of what we've done for the last few years now, about almost 3 years. So you know, we're writing this series of posts for Etsy sellers. So why do you think blogging is so important for success selling on Etsy or online?
Well, I think it helps people to know who you are, and you're more likely to buy from somebody you know and you like, and you're like, oh, they have two cute kids, you know, they cook a lot, they have lots of great recipes, and they make this jewelry, and they do this. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting to know the person behind it, and you're seeing their passion towards making what they're making.
Yeah.
And so it really puts a someone behind your shop, not like going to Target, you know.
Right.
So,
you know, it's not impersonal at all. Right. It's very personal.
Right, it is. And they also come back to you to buy again, and they'll refer people to you because they know you, and you build relationships with your buyers, you build relationships with other bloggers that can help you. So over time, I mean, it's just amazing that the reach that you kind of have, where you wouldn't have that if you just had a shop and you didn't have a blog.
So bloggers can help each other. How does that work?
That really does work out quite well once you get the hang of it. It does take a little while to kind of get into a groove there. But when you're mentioning somebody else's amazing tutorial on their blog, and then the next time they think, oh, well, you have something great on your blog, and then they link to you. And so it's kind of just helping each other,
yeah,
really. I mean, you know, you're not really in direct competition. You know, we always think of business stuff on our board, but there's no competition there. It's kind of just helping each other out.
Yeah, I've read online, you know, I kind of tend to stick to the more businessy side of things, and you know, so this is a term.
I'm more social.
Yeah, she's much more social. You know, I'm really not very good on Twitter or Facebook or any of those things. I mean, I'm great at, you know, anything technical having to do with them, but actually doing them, you know, I don't know. But anyway, there's a thing, there's a term that I learned pretty early on called the internet's a link economy. And that's kind of what you mean as far as
right.
bloggers helping each other. They just point each other's stuff, you know. So
or, you know, you can give away something of yours on somebody else's blog, and then they're like, wow, I didn't know about that shop, you know. And, you know.
What else you think blogging is important for Etsy sellers? You mentioned earlier when we were talking about this beforehand about publicity.
Oh, well, I do think that when people are searching online, say you even have, like, you know, somebody working for Martha Stewart, which would be like my dream. But anyway.
Did you hear that, Martha?
Martha Stewart. Yeah. I'm here. No, just kidding. But if somebody's looking you up, looking up, say, I don't know, what should I say, you know.
Something you sell, like you're talking about.
Right, I don't know, I just want to keep saying my own.
Hand-stamped jewelry.
And they come across a recent blog post, because of it being recent, a lot of times it will show up towards the, isn't that right, it'll show up
higher. There's a social, and you're talking about a search results?
Right.
There's a number of different parts of common search results. There's a social results, which will show recent activity mm-hmm. in social, you know, sites such as Facebook or Twitter. And if you're logged into Google and you've got everything all set up right, that might show just your friends. So you could show up right at the top of something like that. There's also a news feed. If anything that you do happens to be featured on a news type outlet, mm-hmm. then that's based on date because, you know, people read the today's newspaper. So that can show up at the top.
Right. I do just think that as far as them looking for something to put in their magazine for Valentine's Day or something like that, that the chances are better for you if you are not just an Etsy shop, that you have three posts listed on, you know, your Valentine's Day, you know, new products that are coming out. And so there's just more chance of people finding you.
Right.
And, you know, who knows?
And who knows who they might be.
Right.
Martha Stewart's Twitter, you know, team retweet.
Stumble. Yes.
Stumble.
That was very nice.
Yeah. And
yes.
So you know, you do
it's very helpful
make these connections with people who can give you a lot of publicity.
Right.
And that's kind of the thing you're trying to do over time, right?
Right. Eventually. And you'll see Etsy sellers where they have their product in Coastal Living, you know, and you're like, well, how did they get there? Well, you know, they could have gotten there just from simply being found.
Well, like my experience, I mean, I've got, it may even be on newsstands now. The October version of Family Handyman magazine, not a version.
Subscription.
The October post.
Subscription.
No, it's not subscription. It's a
Issue. Oh my goodness gracious. We deal with blog posts way
online.
Too hard.
It's posts, okay?
It's actually written words.
In the October issue of Family Handyman magazine, I have a couple short little blurbs coming out.
Oh, we're going to have to go to the store.
As remodeling guy, we're going to have to go to the store and buy your book and my magazine. In the in both of those things, the book that Kim did and the magazine article that I've done, and you know, relationships I've built with other large national organizations, just come as a result of your blog.
And the blog does help. There's no doubt with that.
And so, but those are long term things that you can see happen if you blog consistently over time and you don't quit. But there's also another long term benefit that's very important. Which is SEO. We've talked a lot about SEO on the site, and we still talk about that quite a bit. But that's one of the key things, that even if you're not social, even if you don't talk to a lot of people, even if you don't really build your blog from a connections or people perspective, if you only look at it from a computer perspective, there's a lot of benefit to be had straight from SEO. Obviously,
right, it just takes a little time.
It just takes time. Yeah, a lot of times when a new blog is started, there's a you know, mythical time frame called the sandbox period that, you know, is kind of unknown and changes, and it's all in the hands of Google. But, you know, so you a lot of times won't get any results right away, and it takes a while. But then once you do start to see results, they can be really good. So if you're constantly writing about your products and doing new posts
just keep it up.
And writing about things related to your products, and you just keep doing that, there's a big SEO benefit. So we've talked about relationships, the potential to get great publicity, that you show passion and creativity for your stuff, right?
And one tip is really just to be yourself on your blog. I know you can see a great blog that you love to read and think that you need to be like that blog, but really you just need to be yourself.
Yeah, and things like what we're doing here with this podcast where we goof up and joke
and
around.
And we just keep going because we can't even remember what you call a magazine issue.
Yeah,
so, okay.
Yeah, see, we're smart. You should listen to us. But anyway, you know, and one of the main things is that about having your own blog on your own is that you own the platform, and it's there's a big branding thing. Like, you know, our you know, my website remodeling guy, for example, you know, if I was on it more and I was more active about it, more people would know the term remodeling guy. It's a brand. So Kim's got you know, her shop Flashy Fish. If she had a blog that was just, you know, Flashy Fish jewelry. Flashy Fish Jewelry.
Right, that's jewelry.
Yeah, I get. She's got so many of them. I can't figure out which is which. Flashyfishjewelry.com or something like that. You know, that name, you know, Flashy Fish would be associated with jewelry in people's minds. And the more people that read it, the more brand recognition there is. And you can do that by having a blog on your own domain.
Right. Well, for us, I guess the blog has actually turned into more work than the shop. So I actually do end up spending more time, you know.
Yeah. Well, the blog's a lot. So the you know, so that's what I was, that kind of leads to my next question. You know, that you're kind of a pro blogger now, a professional blogger, and it's kind of a job for you, and not just something you do on the side or whatever. It's really your job in addition to all the stuff you sell online. You're really a pretty busy girl, and you also take care of the kids, you know, and homeschool, and I don't know how you do it.
Multitasking.
You do. You're very good at it, and. But my question is, does that take the fun out of the blog?
No. Actually, it's actually become more fun because I have more, I don't know, I have more friends, I guess, more relationships that I've kind of built up. And they're the kind of relationships where, like, if they were in town, I'd be like, oh my gosh, you're in town, let's go to lunch, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where it's really pretty nice.
That is. And so you get more feedback
right,
as time
goes on. Right, you do get more feedback. And actually, when we first started blogging, you know, you're not really getting the feedback because not as many people are coming. And that can be kind of, you know.
A little bit of a downer when you.
Yeah, yeah. It really takes time to grow. But I really do enjoy blogging and finding new creatives, you know. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know you can make that, you know. That
so even
thing.
After a couple, well, almost 3 years, well, you know, off and on, we've not been
definitely
consistently at it for,
yeah.
But you've really been pretty consistent on everything Etsy for over 2 solid years now.
Right, and that is, you know, that's a challenge. I do think when you need a break and you feel totally burnt out, you should probably take a few days off.
Just take some time off.
And, yeah, I don't think you should quit, shut the whole blog down, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know who she's talking about.
I might know somebody that's done that before. Yeah. But no, I think you should definitely just take a break for a few days if you get overwhelmed. But I do really enjoy it.
You know, you bring up a good point that we hadn't thought about, you know, when we were kind of thinking about what we wanted to talk about here. And that is that you can stop blogging for a little while and come back to it. And,
right.
You know, she was joking about, you know, quitting a blog. And I've done that more than once with Remodeling Guy, just because I get overwhelmed with time. There's too many things I'm trying to get done. And so I've just, you know, basically looked at the income and said, well, this thing's not making as much money as the time is worth, and I quit.
Right, I don't really think it equals out, you know, the time.
Yeah, it's not you don't get a good hourly rate at the beginning, you know.
If you're not selling something, I think if you're selling for your shop, you don't really have anything to sell.
Yeah, so anyway, the point is that I've quit and just stopped. I've stopped on Remodeling Guy for as long as 3 months at a time. And then decided, okay, you know, I kind of miss it. Now, that's really not good for the relationship side of it, because all your friends, the people that, you know, that comment and come to the blog all the time, you know, they're like, well, he just disappeared. And so that's not good from that perspective. But interestingly, you know, when you come back to it, there is the blog is still there. The SEO has still grown.
Right, and people still show up. When you put a post, I know when, you know, we've had, you know, like people sick and stuff, and we took time off. And you come back, and it's just like you didn't leave.
Yeah, no, it
so
really is.
It's nothing really to get that stressed about.
It's not, and that's kind of the point. So
I see a lot of people get really stressed about, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you just take some time off and then just keep going.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've learned to not even apologize about it anymore.
Yeah, don't even bring it up. Just keep going like nothing happened.
Just keep going like you didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, I think that's better.
So as you've learned and you've done all this, what challenges have you had to overcome to feel successful as a blogger?
Well, I do think the social media side was really, I mean, not being very techy, the thought of social media was enough to make me want to say, I don't want to do any of this. You know, I just want to make some stuff and sell it online. Mm-hmm. And I have found out that that's all very helpful. So I've kind of gotten over my fear of Twitter and Facebook. Facebook took a little longer than the Twitter.
Yeah.
But I can do both of those just great now, and lots of other new things that kind of pop up along the way. Pinterest, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I want to get me started on that. And other challenges were the photography. I really had to kind of learn to use Photoshop a little bit more and make the photos a little bit more wow, you know, when I took pictures of my projects or my... I have gotten better, and I use a little camera, like
Canon... Elf, I think it's called.
It's very, very nice. And I can't handle the big fancy camera that we have. So.
We have a very nice digital SLR that we can't work. And that's even me, and I'm the techie guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's in the closet. I don't want to talk about it.
But wait, before you move on, you know, you mentioned that you had to learn use Photoshop and things, and you did that for your blog, but also for your listings.
That was my first reason for really trying hard, because, you know, you notice the ones on the front page, they don't look like somebody just threw them on a chair and took a picture.
I've noticed that you don't see bad photography front page of Etsy.
So,
you know, good photography is key in selling online. And
that's
no matter what you're selling or where
you're selling. And if you want somebody to feature you on a blog, you know, you need a good photograph, because, you know, as neat as your item might be, if the photo is very dark and kind of far away, it's just not going to stand out on a blog. So really, when we do featured posts, I look for great photography, and that's
yeah. We've got a post on Everything Etsy. I think it's linked to from the footer, and it's how to photograph your work for sale on Etsy. And it's a great post, and includes a video done a couple years ago by the Etsy
team.
Still
works.
and it's all right. You know, I mean, how to make great product photography is not something that necessarily changes drastically over time. So those are some challenges. Is there any more?
Mm-hmm. Well, just the technical side of it has been a challenge for me, and you've helped me out tremendously with that, because you handle all that now.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because judging by the feedback we get in the comments, I think it's a big challenge for a lot of people.
It is, and we actually had a comment yesterday that somebody seemed pretty really overwhelmed with the technical side. And really, it's just a process. It's a slow process of learning. I mean, I've slowly learned how to do things I really didn't want to learn to do. But, you know, it just takes time, and step by step, you get better and better.
Yeah, I'm working on a new blog right now that I'm not quite ready to mention, but I will soon. And as I was building this new site, you know, really kind of tweaking the design with all kind of little bells and whistles, and you know, it was a big undertaking. But as I was going through it, I realized that I really wasn't getting stuck much. I mean, I was able to do whatever I needed to do. I mean, I looked at it and okay, I want this to be that color, or I want this to be different, or I want these letters to be bigger and these letters to be smaller, and all these different things. And I knew how. And you know, I didn't take a class. I've never had a job as a professional doing this for a company. I taught myself this stuff.
You spent a lot of time teaching yourself.
A ton of time.
Right.
And you know, starting almost 3 years ago, and really just by doing. You know, learning by doing. And Google, honestly, it seems to me like anything you want to learn in this world, you can learn because of Google and search engines.
Well, I've noticed that with homeschooling with the kids. If they have a question, I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, I think that people tend to get frustrated if they have no clue what they're looking at. And the first few times I tried to figure out how to do something on our first blog, Forever Wherever, I mean, I would read posts that today I would look at and say, oh, cool, there's the answer, thank you. And I would read it, and it was like another language. I just didn't understand at all what they were saying. And it was, you know, now I realize it was very clear and well-written and easy and no problem. But then I didn't have a clue. So one of the challenges that any blogger, anybody that's trying to build a blog and keep a blog going over time is going to have to overcome if they want to maintain it themselves is just being patient about the technical side of it and just not giving up. Or, you know, hire somebody to do the technical work for you and don't worry about it. But that's an eat into your profits.
I still think you need to learn a little bit, because you don't want to have to ask somebody to put a widget on there to put, you know.
Yeah, well, even in our house, I mean, you know, we're together all the time, and Kim can ask me anything she wants done, but she's talking about me right now. What she's saying is...
No.
She's saying that, you know, it can be a real pain if you want something done. And
you have to, you know...
have to rely on somebody else.
Do you think you can do that today? Do you think you can do that now? I mean, do you think, you know, soon? I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Is there anything, Kim, that you would do differently if you were starting a new blog now? If you were just starting out...
Right, there are.
There are some things.
Well, I think I would relax more. I think in the beginning, you know, I would look at the stats a lot. And the stats stress me out.
You're saying you used to, or you would now?
No, I used to do it more. Okay. Actually, you took one thing off the front page, and that's helped me a lot. The subscriber thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that what happens is it doesn't feed right all the time. And one day it can be like 50, and then, you know, 50 less and 50 more, and it bounces all up and down, and it's not even right. So that would stress me out. I'd be like, oh my gosh, what did I say that 50 people unsubscribed from the blog? And, you know, over time I learned that it's not right, and so I just don't like to look at it all the time. So I would relax about that.
Yeah, you look relaxed. You sound relaxed.
Yeah, can't you tell that really bothered me? And so I would relax more about that. And I would also, you know, content is king, right? And so I would just really focus on my content in the beginning and just keep doing good content whether people were coming or not. Because eventually they will come to look at that, and you have that there, and you've put that there. So just because you don't think you have many people coming right from the beginning, still just focus on the content and, you know, give people something worth reading. Basically, that's how that works.
Well, that's true, because, I mean, when they come for the first time, if they like the content they see, they'll start going back through your post, and if it's all good and it's consistent,
they will stay.
They're like going to subscribe. They're going to tell people about the blog, and eventually they might read the whole thing.
And people do that. They'll say, "I've spent some time on your blog reading," and it's like, "Wow, people are reading it."
We actually get a lot of comments on our first post, because people have gone through the whole darn blog. And yeah. There's like 500 posts on everything Etsy.
I know. So they kind of click here, click there. And once they start clicking around, then they're gonna come back. Mm-hmm. So that's what you want. And I would probably start an email list right away. I know I've read that that's a good thing. And I was always like, but then you got to send an email and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even know how many people we would have now if we had done that. So I would definitely do that.
Yeah, so you're talking about like something like with, AWeber or Contact.
Yes, and the price, I think, the cost of it kind of held us back on starting that because I thought, that's not really worth it to me.
There is an expense to it. A few of them now offer, decent-sized free accounts. I mean, I think MailChimp lets you have 2,000 people. AWeber, I think you get 500 for $20 a month. And iContact, which we've been using recently, I think you can get 1,000 for free. And you have to really kind of plan ahead a little bit because when they're a little bit difficult to move between providers.
Right, and make it seem so difficult.
Like MailChimp, we were all thrilled with the 2,000 free until we realized that if you move and you go to the next level where you have to pay, they're more than the other ones. So that's why they can offer 2,000 for free because they're going to charge more when you get past that point.
Once you get past that point.
But you'd start an email list.
I would. I definitely would just start it even if you don't have anybody coming. Just go ahead and get that started. And I think one of the main things is just to not expect things to happen overnight. It takes time. It takes more time than you think it will take. It actually takes way more time than you think it will take. Okay. I mean, I'm always surprised by that. But it always works. It's just not in,
it takes longer. Yeah, I would definitely agree. When we first started blogging, I read one of the make money blogging gurus, and I mean, I was really convinced. I think the guy's pretty sincere, Yaro Starek. I assume he's still out there. I don't read that kind of stuff as much anymore because we're busy doing what we're doing. But he sounded very sincere, and you can make money blogging. And you find that a lot of a lot of people that make money blogging are talking about making money blogging, but there are a lot of blogs. We know a lot of people who are professional bloggers and are making a decent income from their blogs. That's one of the posts in our series is going to be about when to monetize your blog and how to monetize your blog.
I get a lot of questions about that, so I think this is going to be a very good series as far as answering questions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going through it because we're very convinced that blogging is one of the most important things you can do for an online business, and it's almost I feel like it's a prerequisite.
I do, and I hate to say all these things like, you need to do this, you need to do that, but it really should be part of your Etsy shop.
Yeah, we hate to say must or never or can't or these absolutes because everybody's different, but if there's anything that would get us to say you must do this to succeed, it would be to have a blog for your online business.
And what about when your business grows? You want it to grow and you want to have a spot where you're sending all your people to your blog,
mm-hmm.
And then those people and they come and whether you're going to be at a craft show or wherever, they know where to find you and those are your...
That's right. It's just a wonderful tool that wasn't available to any businesses just a few years ago, and it's a great thing. And the earlier you start, the faster it'll build.
It's really inexpensive, really, as far as all the marketing.
Inexpensive.
Yes, inexpensive.
It's just a matter of time.
Right.
There's the time's valuable, patience. And it takes a lot of it. But from cash money perspective, there's very little investment, and it's so worth the time. And as time passes. We've found from experience, and we've seen this experience from other people that we know who have blogged for years. We know a lot of bloggers have been going a lot longer than us, and they really do see it pay off over time. So don't give up. And if you'd like to stick with us throughout this whole series of posts, on the post today, which is what was the title of that post? I think it was "Blogging Leads to Online Greatness." You can search that in our search box and in that, or just hit the subscribe, find a subscribe link on our site to subscribe to our email list or our FeedBurner emails. You'll get the blog post every day and you won't miss any. Anything else, Kim, you'd like to add?
No, I just think that if you have an Etsy shop and you want to grow your Etsy shop and your Etsy business, then you need a blog, and this series will help you really understand it and help to grow your blog and make your blog reflect you.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, once again, we're Tim and Kim from EverythingEtsy.com. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/EverythingEtsy. And Kim is on Twitter at EverythingEtsy. She's about everywhere at EverythingEtsy. Pinterest, Tumblr.
At everything Etsy.
Everything's at everything Etsy. So that brings up a whole other thing about branding that we'll talk about another time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
It.